If you live in Miami, Charles Perez has a familiar face for you. He used to be a television news anchor there, and he's currently writing a book called Confessions of a Gay Anchorman. Included in that book may be the story of how he has struggled to both adopt his daughter and what's happened since then. You see, Charles and his husband wanted to adopt a kid, but in the state of Florida, it's against the law for gay and lesbian people to adopt. So they temporarily moved to Illinois and then Kansas, and that story is Charles Perez is here to tell us what happened then himself. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll tell you, it's been quite a story, as you just recap. We wanted to have a kid, and Florida, which a lot of people don't know, is the only state in the union that categorically denies gay people from consideration to be adoptive parents. And what makes that so extraordinary is not felons, not child molesters, no other category of people are denied consideration as adoptive parents, only gay people. And that meant we had to find some way to go around the system.
So explain to me what happened. I mean, you did finally adopt a daughter, but tell me quickly what happened on your journey there.
Well, basically, we had to find a way to do this because we didn't want to lie. We could have gone to the state of Florida, could have gone to the adoptive agencies here or the Department of Children and Families and lied, and I could have said, I'm a straight man and I wanted to adopt. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to honor our relationship, and we just didn't want to be caught in a lie where they may come back to us and take our child. So we went to an attorney actually up in New York and who was familiar with adoption laws around the country, and he said, if you go back to Florida, you adopt a kid, you take that child back to Florida, they will take that child away from you, and they have done it, because you, in essence, are going against Florida statute. So you need to then comply with whatever the laws are in whatever state you find a child. And in most cases, that means you need to take up residency, and you need to stay there until the adoption is actually finalized. What made that so, I would say, disturbing for me and for both of us was that we would go to these states, and we would run into other people who were heterosexual, who were adopting kids, and could then just take their kid right home. In other words, if we were a straight couple in Florida and we went to Kansas or Illinois or anywhere and adopted our child, Florida would honor that adoption and let them come home. We weren't allowed to do that, or they'd take our kid away from us just because we're gay. So we had to go, and we had to move to another state, and we had to set up residency. And the problem with that, I felt, was that this was not only bigotry in terms of on sexual orientation. I thought it was bigotry based on economics as well, because it meant that a lot of good people who could be great parents who just couldn't afford to get up and leave the state and set up residency and leave their lives for 6 months, 9 months, a year, would be denied the opportunity to be an adoptive parent. And on the other side of that, Florida has one of the worst rates of kids living in foster care who never get put into permanent homes.
Okay, so you moved to Illinois. That didn't work. You moved to Kansas, and you had to live there for 2 months before you were able to adopt your daughter. And
yeah, here, Kansas was great, if I may interrupt you, because
yeah,
Kansas is the anomaly, like Iowa is to some of these Midwestern states, that they don't require you to be there for 9 months or a year like most states do. So it was a blessing for us, and obviously our beautiful daughter's a blessing. You may hear her hiccuping in the background. So we went to Kansas, and Kansas, because they had, like most states, because they have no laws restricting gay adoption, was able to move forward on it. And as a result, we both were on her birth certificate. We got to adopt her, and this beautiful little girl who may have just been put in the system otherwise. Now, hopefully, she'll have a better shot. I mean, that's our objective, is just to, you know, love her and give her every opportunity we can.
What's her name?
Her name is Madeline.
Nice.
And she is in my arms right now.
And Charles,
with radio.
How old were you when you first had the inkling that you wanted to be a parent?
Well, I would say I'm 47 now, so I'm a little older. But on the other hand, my dad was 47 when I was born, It was sort of a pattern that made sense to me.
But this has been with you for a while, right?
Yeah, I would say in my 30s is when it really popped up, in my early to mid-30s. And then as I hit my 40s, I thought, in the state of Florida, I thought, you know what, this is just not going to be a possibility. And then finally, when I met the man who's now my husband, we had to go to Connecticut to get married, because that's also not legal here.
Well, Charles, emotionally, what's it like to finally gird yourself for this uphill battle to do something that you want to do out of love?
Well, I'll tell you, here was when you talk about the emotional part of it, I'll tell you when it really hit me, more so than all the hurdles we had to jump. What really hit me was when we wanted to get her insurance, and we couldn't. couldn't get her health insurance because both of our policies have a line in it that to insure an adoptive child, the adoption has to be in compliance with Florida state law. Mm. So suddenly, our beautiful little girl could not get health insurance because of the Florida ban on gay adoption. So we've gone through so many hurdles just to try to get her insurance. Finally, last Friday, she got insured 2 months after birth, and we just thank God that she didn't have any problems between birth and then. Because nobody was willing to touch her.
You know, what's odd about your story is that there's just a lot of conflicting rules and regulations that deal with this in Florida. And the thing that's kind of ironic to a certain extent is that there's no restriction on for you, either you or your husband, to be foster parents because they desperately need foster parents.
Exactly. And a gentleman, Bill McCollum, who was recently the Republican, really the front runner for governor, he just lost in a primary, he wanted to extend that ban on adoptive parents as well. Because he saw the inconsistency there, but also he also just does not believe that gay people should be around kids. That's a whole other story. But there are a lot of inconsistencies there, and a great example of it is a gentleman, Martin Gill, in Miami, along with his partner, are trying to adopt the two little boys they have foster cared for 5 years. And we're talking two little boys that nobody wanted. One of them was considered catatonic, completely unresponsive because he'd been so emotionally damaged. They adopted these two kids, and they loved them back to health. They're reasonably normal kids today, and the state of Florida is trying to take them away from them because they want to adopt them.
Let me just ask you, Charles Perez, with all this trouble, why don't you leave Florida?
You know what? It's a daily conversation, and we may. The challenging question here is, do we leave Florida or do we stay and do we fight to change things? Change things that go way back and way into the hearts of a lot of people in Florida, too. It's a very schizophrenic state.
Okay, Charles Perez, former news anchor in Miami, currently writing a book about his experience called Confessions of a Gay Anchorman, proud new adoptive parent of Madeline.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Charles, which is a better job, TV anchor or daddy?
Yeah, I wouldn't trade this for anything in the world.
Nice. Thanks so much, Charles. So you want to learn more about Florida and their politics and everything else that's going on in Florida? We've kind of had a Florida theme all hour. Get more from WNYC's series Pop and Politics. Our friend Farai Jadeh, I just came back from the Sunshine State. You can hear her getting the lay of the political land. Head to thetakeaway.org/elections. Also lovely is our listeners this week. We've been turning to you for some poetry, haikus about the economic crisis. Maybe it's about Wall Street, your community, your own home. What's your haiku? Stephen writes us this. Gray on gray, storms build, the tower kept calling us, still we flew away. Send us your poetic take on the economy, the countries, or your own. Text us at 69866. Start your message with the word take, followed by your haiku. That's to 69866. There's always time for haiku.
And you know a haiku is supposed to go five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, right?
Rule.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's a haiku. I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm John Hockenberry.
This, The Takeaway.